for the kingdom.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For the kingdom. You feel me? For the kingdom. We got five people in this church, and to have a teacher of that caliber in such a small crowd, and a praise and worship leader, I mean, you could put 200 of them together. They won't do what Glenda did, and that other can't touch April's shoes. Can he carry a sandal? We got five people and got folks of that caliber.
Only God.
Only God.
Hallelujah.
Tell me God don't reward faithfulness. Huh? You tell me.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. Praise and worship leaders so full of themselves, come up to lead praise and worship, and you can't get nothing going on. Got to get past the person. Hallelujah. But Glenda Jean, the queen, loves the Lord. And it shows. April Lou loves the Lord, and it shows in her teaching. We got real folks here. Folks who love God. You hear me? Who love God. Truly. That was our prayer for our daughter's husbands. Just love God. The rest of it would take care of itself. You got to have this kind of money, this kind of ethnicity, or culture. None of that. Just love God. The rest will take care of itself. He can be broke as a joke. Be black or white as whatever. If you love God, we're good. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Having said that, and I do recommend to your hearing both of what she taught, all of that, Psalm 34, I recommend those sermons. I've been listening to them since we ran to listen to them.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
The notes and everything. So good. Just full of wisdom and information and just well taught. I recommend that for your hearing big time. Psalm 34 and the teaching on idols. They both are toe crushing. And so just wear steel-toed shoes, but even though the Holy Ghost is going to crush you anyway, so just get ready to have your toes crushed, because if you really, really look at it, you're finding we're falling far short of that standard. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Having said that, let's continue our series here on facing sin or dealing with sin what?
Head on.
Head on. Head on. Head on. Squared smack dab. All right, so let's go back to our foundation text of many moons ago. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Glory be to God. What? In the highest. Yes, in the highest. Amen. Woo, thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, and let's go with verse 5 through 10. This is our foundation text of dealing with sin head on, facing it head on. Real Christians, proof of your Christianity, proof of your salvation, proof of a redeemed person is that they deal with sin head on. They face it and deal with it. Now, look here. God is gracious enough to even let us know that we are sin in this area. He could just let us go. Look here. The sins God shows us, it's just a portion of what we all really doing.
Amen.
I don't know if you really heard what I just said, and if you really believe it. I said, what God shows us is just a portion of what's really going on concerning our sinful nature. He's gracious enough to say, I need you to deal with that. Work on that. That's going to take you about 20 years. Just work on that one. See, the problem comes, folks dying because of sin. Don't pray no more for them because of sin. We're talking about known sin. Remember that. He's so gracious and merciful. He's not killing us for all sin, because we've been dead. You follow that? We would have been dead. Think about it now. Wages of sin is death. That's all sin. Known and unknown. He's gracious, faithful, just, trustworthy, and merciful. So much so that he says, I'm going to show you just a dip. Now work on that. And when you finish that, you go to the next one. Now work on that. Are you listening to me? God, through the Holy Spirit, let's take our time, reveals our sin in our personal lives.
Yes, he does.
I can testify.
Amen. So check this out. When he does, you, me, us, then become responsible for dealing with that sin while we take our time.
Amen.
Okay? So now listen. God says, Greg, my son, you have this particular sin. I now know it. I got Holy Ghost, power of the Holy Ghost, right? Be strong in the Lord. Power, his might, so I got his might. We go to a church that teaches the word of God, so I got his word. I got his power. And I got the counselor, helper, advocate, judge, all that living inside of me. What does God expect me to do with that sin? Stop sinning, repent of it, and fix it. Because you got the word and the power and the helper to do it. Does all that make sense? Does all that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you call what I just said, God tells you to sin, then gives you the power, and puts you in the church that's teaching the word. So you got the word and the power, and you've been made notified of sin. When we bypass all of that, in other words, he tells us what the sin is, and we don't do it, we don't stop it, we don't use the power of the Holy Ghost, we don't use the word of God, we don't use the advice and counsel of the Holy Ghost to stop the sin, then you understand, you're entering into judgment. Now, how hard hitting that judgment is going to be is up to God. In some cases, it could be death, such as Ananias and Sapphira. It could be death, such as the group of Christians who were taking the Lord's Supper table, communion, unworthily. And they died. They were, so there some, he said, men for this cause of you taking the table unworthily, many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died. That's because of known sin. See, he's merciful. He's not killing you, killing me, killing us for sins we don't know about. Don't have no idea. We always want to talk about God being just. You ever pray for justice, just duck. Because he's right now, as soon as you get the last word out of your mouth, you come a lightning bolt straight from heaven and spit you right in your head. Because just is death. That's justice. That's the just thing to do. But he's merciful. Mercy means that he is withholding from us what we deserve. You deserve death. You send it all over the menu.
Yes, sir.
But yet and still, I'm steadily withholding my mercy, withholding that death from you, rather, and being merciful. And I'm giving you, still giving you things, still allowing you to walk around, still allowing you to breathe, enjoy the sunshine, even though you're sending up a storm. That's grace.
Yes, sir.
And I still give you teachers who I set before you to teach you the word of God. Take advantage and be ever so keenly aware of the counsel and guidance of the Holy Spirit when he notifies us that we are in sin. Take it seriously as a great grace of God and not just flippantly throw it away. He's merciful. He's merciful. So understand this. When he says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, meaning no sin nature, we deceive ourselves. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, never sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. We're sinners. We're saved sinners. I remember the charismatics bristled at that. They bristled at that. No, some we're sinners. No, you were a sinner. Now you're saved by grace. Yeah, but Apostle Paul never relinquished that title. He said, of whom I am chief. Mm-hmm. of sinners. The greatest apostle, second to Jesus, that ever walked the face of the earth. He still referred to himself as the chief of sinners. And to me, a mature Christian is going to always refer to them as that, because you're going to get more upset with yourself when you do sin, because you're growing more in the things of God. And also, a mature Christian is going to be deeply down on the knees, per se, clasped hands together over the breast, grateful that you're showing me my sin. Thank you. Because you really want me. Not right now. Okay, we'll get that later. He really wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. I want you to be like my son. We're not just singing songs of let the face of Christ be seen by all around, or let the love of Christ and the grace of God be seen by all in everything we do, just to be singing those songs. No, that's because we really are working toward conformity to the image of God, of his son Jesus. That's the prize Apostle Paul was pressing toward, the image of being conformed. I mean, the prize of being conformed to the image of his dear son. Amen. Our goal is to look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Jesus. The first thing is, think we have the mind of Christ. It starts there. Mm-hmm. I told you I've simplified my prayers now for the morning, for the day. Lord, help me to think like you, because everything else is going to follow. Your mind is right, your thoughts. If your thoughts are right, rather, your mouth is going to be right. If your thoughts are right, your actions are going to be right. You're going to be in good shape. When you go south, your mind is going south. Help me just to think like you. Help me to utilize the gift that you've given me, which is the mind of Christ. We have, as a present possession right now, the mind of Christ. And first, Philippians 2 says, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we have the mind of Christ, 2 Corinthians, and we have the attitude of Christ, Philippians 2. We set mentally. When we don't walk in those two things, it's our fault. It's on us. He supplied it. I can think like Jesus. I can think like God. What you think this is? Right, this is the mind of God right here, the word of God. These didn't come from man. It came through man from God. Wow. What an honor that we are understanding this teaching right now, that we're talking about right now, that we can think like Christ Jesus. I don't know if we really are getting that. Let's just say la for a moment. You mean I can really think like the risen Lord while he was walking here on this earth? I can really think like him? Well, you think it's a joke? You think, well, we don't really mean that. You have the mind of Christ. Well, what does that mean then if it doesn't mean that? Sometimes we read things, sometimes we read things too long. Meaning, in this case, you read it 100 years and you become so familiar with it, you almost dismiss it. You downplay it. See, this enemy of ours is relentless. If I can't get you on the read too fast part, I'm going to try to get you where you've read it so much that it just dulls your thinking and understanding of what you've been reading for 25, 30 years. Either way, I'm coming at you because I want you to miss it. So Sister April was telling us, when the technology goes wrong, when the baby starts crying, family member calls as he's walking out the door. It's not the family member. It's not the technology. It's Satan trying to get you to not hear the word, not worship God, not be conformed to the image of his son. He's going to fight us tooth and nail until we die. So if I can't get you from reading too fast, then I'm going to get you from reading it 100 years and just don't have nothing to do with it. So let's turn there. Those two scriptures right now, we're going to just look at these scriptures and eyeball them and read them nice and slow. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I think it's verse 15. See, Lord, and took a whole nother thing. Man, do your thing, Lord God. This is your thing. do what you want to do. Second, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 or 16, something like that. Oops. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. Let's try 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yes. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. You know, there's no way I can go. Let's go all the way back. Let's go back to verse 6. I mean, because here we're talking about getting wisdom and knowledge. We're blessed to be at a church that teaches the word of God. God has blessed us. Help us to, Father, to really, 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 really have bowed knees, clasped hearts over our breasts to thankful gratitude of having teachers here that teach the word. So that we can understand it and get this knowledge and wisdom down in our hearts in Jesus' name. Verse 6, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. It's not that wisdom. What I teach you, what April teach you by the power of the Holy Ghost is not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of who? God. Secret and hidden to who? The world. Which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Huh? None of the rulers of this age. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Why? Because it was so far advanced beyond the wisdom of this age. These things God has revealed to us, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? Wow, think about that. So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Lord, help us to get this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Do you see the inside intelligence? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. I mean, he knows it's too much for us as human beings. So what he does is, who knows God on the inside like the Spirit of God? He just told us no one. And that spirit that knows God deeply has been given to us so that we can know God. Thank you for the wow. We've read this many times, but the Holy Ghost is enlightening us today. Let us take advantage of it. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us that knows the depth of God. Wow. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand. Here's the reason. That we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are. Do you see why? What, you're talking about attend church for the purpose? That's what we're doing. Can you see that? When I stand here, when she stands here, we are speaking by the Spirit of God, spiritual truths that can only be understood by those who are spiritual. And that means whose spirit are alive and resurrected from the dead.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, foolishness, nonsensical to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We just talked about that. The natural man is in contrast to verse 13 by the word interpreting truth to those who are spiritual. You see that? Those who are spiritual and the natural man are antithetical. Those who are spiritual, their spirits are alive and raised from the dead by the Holy Ghost. And those who are natural, their spirits are not alive. They are still dead in their sins. Does that make sense? That's the two groups. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That verse, I know it's a controversial statement, maybe somewhat, but that's why I just don't go just spitting, hey man, you know Jesus? Hey dude, you know, I'm and help me on this, but and Lord help me too, but I believe in being led. I know, like we taught on this on the Great Commission. He did tell us to go. But then there's still, as I said, like personalized instruction as to where we to go. Because go where? He said, go you there for all the world. So that everybody going to all the world and teach all the nations? No. I mean, you have an assignment that you go. You may go there. You go to U of M. I'm not at U of M, whether I was at Dearborn or Ann Arbor. I'm not going into the homes of those who need a touch of healing and care. I don't go into those homes, but you're there. I don't go where you go, but you're there. So when we are to go, we need to hear where we are to go and who we're to speak to. Why? Because of this verse. See, there's a line there that you got to recognize that's there. And that is, natural person cannot receive the things of God. And then it says, cast not your pearls before swine, nor give that which is holy to the dove. So those are warnings that you just don't go spouting off anywhere. At least that's how I see those verses. If I'm wrong, I will come back to you. I say you be led. And in my walk with the Lord, that's done just wonderful for being led. Yeah. I didn't pressure April when she came. Mr. Neese, we've been knowing each other, I think since Nicole was like one or something? Or two?
She was a toddler and Julie was 9 months old.
So that's how long?
And Julie's 31 now.
31. So we're talking about at least 31 years. How God does that? I didn't know Glenda. I was in Willow Run at some game thing, but I never saw Glenda Jean. And grew up with Auntie Allie. And the thing about it is, when you grow with someone and they still come and respect you as a pastor, that's God, because a prophet is without honor in his own country. Like, oh, that, I know him. Oh, amongst his own people. I know that. Grew up really crazy. You know, silly. Whatever. For her to come in and bow, that's God. The point I'm making is God does. You just gotta. You need to know. Well, first I need to live first. Live it. Then know some type of scripture, and then have an open ear and be obedient. Yeah. Now I'm not saying there's never not a time to say, "Man, you know the Lord," because the Lord may tell you that to an indiscriminate stranger walking down the street. He do how he do, but make sure he's doing it. I think we get it twisted on the quote-unquote evangelism, and what's really evangelism really isn't not biblical, scriptural-based evangelism. It's more tradition. Sometimes it's make us feel better. Well, I don't talk to me about the Lord today, so that's over with. No. It's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying every person you talk that he sends you to don't want to receive it. He may just plant seed for something you may not ever know that 20 years later come up. look at this verse. It says that the natural man can't receive it. So they're just running around talking to folks. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, the spiritual person, see the contrast, the natural person versus the spiritual person, judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one, because the word of God judges him and not any person. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have right now as a present possession the mind of Christ. Look at those words again. I want you just to look at it for about 20 seconds. Just stare. But we have, who's we? The spiritual person from verse 15. The spiritual person, those who are spiritual, verse 13. We who are spiritual people have right now the mind of Christ. Let Father God, let that burn in our eyes and our ears and in our mind. Let it just wake up in our spirits like never before in Jesus' name. We have it right now.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to go old school, Sister Melinda. I want you to repeat this after me. Say, I have.
Right now,
the mind of Christ.
The mind of Christ.
Okay, now y'all kind of said like they really don't believe it, April. I don't know what's really going on. Now let's say that one. I have right now mind of Christ. Okay, what's next? You know, can I order my Big Mac now? You know, it's like you get this out the way next. No, say it like you really. This is a tremendous. Even how you do, you really believe it? Amen. So let's say it like we believe it. Say I have.
Right now,
the mind of Christ. It is mine.
Right now,
the mind of Christ.
Man,
receive that. Believe that. You're not out there on your own when you're facing situations, or they say thou south situations. You're not on your own. You're not by yourself. You have the mind of Christ right now. I can think like Christ Jesus. I can talk like Christ Jesus. I can act like Christ Jesus. So what it means to have the mind of Christ? It means that I can. It influences what I say, what I think, and what I do. I've never thought further behind what that's being said. Let's talk it out. You got your water?
Yeah.
Okay, take your time. Let's talk this out. Let's walk it out now. Let's walk it out. Having the mind of Christ means that I can speak like the Lord Jesus, right? I can say what he says. Having the attitude, I'll act and react to certain situations just like Jesus. You mean I can do just like Jesus? I mean, come on now, Jesus. Hold on, just slow down. Because when you start saying all of that, you're thinking in your own strength, in your own mind. I said you have the mind of Christ. You have to be saying God. We're going to say it again. You have right now the mind of Christ. So you can, by the power of the Holy Ghost, remember we just read that Spirit of God that knows God deeply has been given to us. So we have the mind of Christ. We have inside intel into the God of the Bible. And walk around here like mere unchanged men. What an insult to the Spirit of grace. Wow. How many times have God sent up there shaking his head? SMH. SHA. Shaking his head. I gave this dude my mind, my spirit, and that's what you do? That's what you say? You go another while. Thank you. Like you read in James, we proceed crazy thoughts, cursing men, same mouth. We bless God. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Comma, as I add, but they are. Same mouth. That is supposedly connected to the mind of Christ. We curse men. Backbite. Talk about fake, phony. This toe crusher, because my toe is crushing too. Because I'm saved and got the mind of Christ too. It don't always act like it. I mean, this is a toe crusher. I mean, it when you really think about, you know, how we may live on a daily basis, what you're saying and thinking, you're like, wow, man, and I'm truly saved. And you're thinking those thoughts? You're saying those things? You have that attitude? Is right. Lord, guilt us. Shame us. Lord, help us. Guilt us, shame us, and thank you for helping us. Go back to Psalm 40, whatever it was. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. David crying out. Hear our cry. I sought the Lord, and he answered. Deliver me from all my fears. Amen. Oh, yeah. Watch out now. Watch out, Sally. Where the organ at? Where the organ at? God, Lord God Almighty. Wow, help us to get this right now. Help us to see it anew and afresh like never before, that we have the mind of Christ. And we have the Spirit that has searched you deeply and knows you, and you put that Spirit inside of us. Shame on us when we don't use the power of the Spirit and the mind of Christ to live for you. Amen. Shame on us. Help us to become convicted when we don't do that, in Jesus' name. So you saw it. Those who are taking notes, write that scripture down. Write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. 16, verses 6 through 16. Write that down. Study that. Go over that. All right? Look at it. You read it. You looked at it. Let's look at it again. One more time. Verse 16. One more time. Verse 16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ right now. We have it right now. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. I think it's about verse 5, I think. Yes, among yourselves, yes. So, verse 1, Philippians 2, 1 through 5. If you're taking notes, read over it and read it. And please read it. Don't just read it again. And read it again. And read it again. Something else April encouraged us to do, she said, well, you know, Pastor Harris took the one word blessed and went over, talked for almost an hour on the one word. That's the Holy Ghost. She was telling us there's so much depth to the Word of God. Someone said the Word of God is pregnant, giving birth to new revelations all the time. There's so much there. So please, I beg of you, look at these scriptures. Go over these scriptures. Study. Verse 1, Philippians 2, 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. I pray this over Word of Life. Having the same love. Being in full accord and of one mind. Says it again. Being of the same mind, same love, full accord and of one mind. He says it twice. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. I like to think we are on that road here at Word of Life. Like everything we get together to do, there's no arguing, fussing, and fighting. And we've done some things in close quarters and kitchens and things with not a whole lot of room, folk bumping into everybody. Nobody have attitudes. We just rocking and rolling because we're working on this. Amen. You want a successful church? Don't look for crowds. Amen, Mr. Chris. Don't look for quantity. I've been telling you that. It's quality. Can the joy of the apostle be completed because the church is of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, who are doing nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, counting others more significant than yourself. That's the recipe of a successful church. We just read it. It has nothing to do with numbers. It has everything to do with attitude. Amen. Thought, mind, and action. Verse 4 again, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind and attitude among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Now, some of the other translations have it. For example, verse 5, again, in Amplified. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Can we be humble like Christ Jesus? We certainly can. Now, I got some bad news for you, Angela. When you walk up out of here saying, I'm going to be humble, I'm going to think like Christ, I got the mind of Christ, and the devil will try to smack everything out of that you heard, right? Am I right, Evelou? You better believe Babylon, the den of iniquity, going to go crazy tomorrow. This going to go crazy. Because why? He's wanting to snatch away that word that was sown. He hates the word of God. He hates spiritual teachers who are teaching the wisdom of God to the spiritual people of God. He hates it. You best believe you're going to try to knock it out. But I tell you, don't be scared. Nothing to be scared about, because you got the Holy Ghost in you. This is 1 John 4:4. Greater, stronger, mightier. I always synonymize that word. Because greater, once again, what you hear for 40 years, you just, But when I go into the others, greater, stronger, mightier, wiser is he that is in you right now than he that is in the world. So devil, no matter what you do, you can't touch this. Yeah. You can't touch this.
Thank you, Lord.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Can't touch this. And you stand on that. You stand on it. That's the I'm a child of King. That's not how they favor it. All the platitudes, that's garbage. When you say I'm a child of the King, realize because I got his spirit, I got his mind, I got his attitude. That's what being a child of the King means. Not like you said it all with a flippant attitude. You can't tell me I'm a child of the King. Oh, I deserve this. I deserve that. That's what people are saying. No, not like that. I'm a child of the King, and since I am, I have his spirit. I have his mind. I have his attitude. I have his humility. I have his love. I know how to get along with folks because I got his love. I got his humility. I'm following his example. Be ye followers of God as dear children. You want to be a child of the King? Then if you're a child, then follow God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah, then you want to talk all that, then let's really walk it out. That means you're going to follow the King as a dear child. And follow his example. But I want you to see verse 4 or 5 again. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Look at, let's see. So personally, I'm not super crazy about the ESV translation of verse 5. I prefer the Amplified, and I prefer the King James, and I prefer the NASB. Again, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. I like that one better than what the NASB says. Jesus had this attitude of humility, did he not? Then he says, have the same attitude. Now listen, that first word have makes, what kind of sentence is this, my English major? What kind of a sentence?
Command.
Yes. So declarative. Gives a command. He's not suggesting this. This is declarative. He's saying, have this same attitude in you. Hold on. Is he commanded us something that we can't do?
No, sir.
What have we always taught him? Word of life by the Holy Ghost. If he commanded it, we can carry it out. We can do it.
Amen.
So when he commands us what? If he commands us to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, then we can have that same attitude. Or else he wouldn't command it for us to do something that's beyond our realm of doing.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's good news. I can have the attitude that Christ has when he was down here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I can have. Say that. I can have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had when he was down here. I can have the same attitude, same exact, and great humility. And that attitude, he's talking about it's humility and love. The same attitude. Let's talk what he's talking about. Look at verse 3 again. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another so more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in you. You see that? So verses 3 and 4 tells you what it looks like. Put others before you. Being interested in what they're interested in, and putting that interest ahead of your own interests. Boy, that's a key in marriage. That's a key. Yes, anyone, but I'm talking about particularly marriage.
Absolutely.
That's what marriages fall apart.
That's right.
When in particular, the husband's interests become more important than his wife's interests, he's not putting her interest first over his. And therefore, you start having that conflict. Yes, it does spread to other relationships. But that's the key in relationships, is putting others' interests ahead of your own. That's key. That's humility. That's humility personified. I mean, that's humility exhibited, put on display.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you show your humility. I'm humble. Whenever someone says they're humble, they're not humble. Because soon they run, because a humble person doesn't believe that they're humble. I remember I heard that about 10 years, 12 years ago. I'm like, I had the Scooby look for a minute. Because it was crunching. It crunched my toes. I'm like, a humble person never believes they're humble. Because the moment you believe you're humble, you're in pride. I know I sound like double talk, but it's really true. A humble person, I think they'll never say, I'm humble. You would never call yourself humble. That's pride. Let that say a lot. Putting others before you. That's why Sister Villan has taught many, many times, and I've heard her say it and been the recipient of such powerful teaching, when the Lord just falls on her and she just, and that J.R. used to use the pouring motion, when wisdom just pouring out of her from her lips. And a lot of times she said in those wisdom, we have our own private Bible class and things, you know, about I know about putting others first. I was going to say some more than that. But it's also working. It's always working to making sure that your neighbor's needs and wants and interests are taken care of before your own. You have to live the... Oh, thank you, Father. How marriage is great for sanctification. It sanctifies you. Because it causes you to put yourself on the back burner. If you're going to have any chance at a successful marriage and or other relationships, you're going to major in putting others before yourself. And she said, in marriage, she reminded me that's built in. It's built in. I mean, when God thought of that, that's one of the things he was thinking of, if you will, or one of the reasons, rather. I'm like, you know, I didn't think of it that way. It is a sanctifying process. And then you add to that fatherhood or parenthood even more so. Now you, as a husband and a father, so it's husband, father, and then me. You catch the order. Husband, looking out interest for my wife. Father, interest of my children, and then me, and then my own interests. That's verse 4. Again, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. He just said don't look out for interests at all. but say not to the exclusion. That's the problem. To exclude everybody else's interest. That's the problem. And the Lord is so gracious because He'll tell you, you're getting a little too much about you right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, slow it down. Slow it down. Amen. Last thing. I said there was two things. The mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ, and there was one more thing. Oh, Jesus, help me. Anybody remember? It was the third thing. The mind of Christ. Maybe an attitude.
I thought
it
was two.
Yeah, maybe just two.
We have the Spirit of God.
Right.
The Holy Spirit, mind and attitude.
Mind and attitude. Okay. Yeah. So we have the mind, the attitude, and we have the spirit. You read those. I really want us to really, really, really meditate on that. Study that. Let it get deep down in our spirits and watch it transform your thinking and your attitude.
And your approach.
Yeah. And then that's gonna transform the rest of your life. It's gonna transform the rest of your lifestyle. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
how you approach things, how you deal with things, how you speak to things, how you act toward things.
Yes,
because the Holy Spirit is gonna keep reminding you. You got the mind of Christ now. You don't have to answer that way. Yeah. See, you hear the Holy Spirit, and what you are about to say before you say it, you'll hear Him say, that's not the mind of Christ, that's the mind of Greg. And if you open your mouth with Greg's wisdom, it's going to be all heck breaking out in here. Rethink that. Rethink that, because you have the mind of Christ. So rethink that. You follow that? Put Christ's mind on the front. No, put that. Take that record off. Don't play that song for me. That's old Aretha Franklin. Some guy, I don't care. Anyway, take that off the turntable and put the Holy Ghost mind record on and set the needle down on it. Let that play. In other words, that's what you speak. That's why it's good to just step back sometime and be slow to speak and quick to hear. And take a moment.
Yes.
I've got to do that in marriage too.
Help me, Lord.
We got to do that in marriage too, I think. You got to just take it down. Just hold on. Don't say that. And I'll tell you what, we get really tested when we're very angry.
Yes, sir.
We tend to just Put the record on, man. Drop the needle. Hit it. I want to rock right now. Oh, baby, that's not what you're talking about, dude. What is you talking about? This ain't no rock, bass, and DJ Easy Rock. What is going on there? Pray for me, JR. Pray for me. You hear me, Clyde? Take that record off, dude. Throw that. Cause this done the whole turntable right out the window. Bring a whole new sound system up in here, man. That's not gonna work. And you know, we're making it funny, but you know, we done mess up a whole lot of people in relationships by saying things just because we mad. Mm-hmm. And I look at that freaking matter. Do you really? And you gotta teach them, because they sin nature, they won't know that. Just because you mad, angry, does not give you the right to just say whatever you want to say. It's adults that still don't get that.
Amen.
Yeah. You don't have the right.
That's right.
You don't. And especially if you are born again. Because you have the mind of Christ. You have the attitude of Christ. And the Spirit of God is living in you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Ah, that's good news. I'm encouraged. I hope you are.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm encouraged. I hope you are.
Amen.
We've been charged up.
Amen.
We got info now. We got renewed, regenerated, battery charged intel to go back out there and live for Christ and show Christ in all that we do, like the song says. I love how that fits the song. Show Christ in all that we do. Show Christ in all I do. And then that the face of Christ will be clear for all the world to see.
Yes, Lord.
That's our prayer.
Amen.
in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord God Almighty.